The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about things that, you know, you've tried, you've applied, and come up with the same old nothing that works. Here's an opportunity. Let's do it without drugs, without surgery, and an opportunity might exist that you actually can reclaim your health again. Yeah, what's that all about, right? So get your life back. You know, the thing that you were given at birth, you know, you're supposed to live well and healthily and so forth. And unfortunately, all too often, life not only ends quickly and shortly, but we suffer the slings and arrows of things that show up symptomatically that we don't know where they come from, but they start putting people on things because sometimes it's for your age. You know, the old saying, what do you expect for your age? Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I expect a whole lot for where I'm at. We're going to talk something that is going to be very pertinent to most of us and all of us at one point of our life if we make it through the process of accidents and things of that nature. And what am I talking about? Well, you know, it's unmistakably clear that we reach a place in life that we go to our local doc and he says to us, you know, at your age, we need to put you on X, Y, and Z just to maintain your health. And, you know, don't you know that you have an X percentage of risk of having certain things happen to you? And because Fifth Avenue Marketing is really so great, we buy into this diatribe, whether it's real or not real. So I'm going to tell you a personal experience, something that's kind of bitten at my back end a little bit. And those of you who know me know that I've been in practice, we'll put the number out there, I just finished 40 years of practice in February. And prior to that, graduate school, undergraduate school, and all those things. Well, in about 45 years, I've had no medication. Truth, 3 rounds of antibiotics because I've had a bone infection in my mouth because I have a bad habit of clenching my teeth and wiggling, and then things get into the apophyses. But that's it. Nothing else. Nothing. Nothing except for herbs and vitamins and so forth and so on. So about every 2 years, I go to a cardiology center, and I want to find out what my status is because I like to push the limits a lot. I still work out very hard. I still do a lot of things I like to do. And, you know, I have to make sure that, you know, foolishness doesn't take over in my brain. So I went to this cardiology center. We're not going to name names or what the group is, but it's somebody who I had not been to before. And all I wanted was, you know, echocardiogram and a treadmill exam and so forth and so on. So I walk in and, you know, they have me fill out all the paperwork, and I'm being compliant, as, you know, anybody would. And the intake nurse comes over and says, doctor, you forgot to put down medications. And I said, I don't take medications. Now, she looked at me quizzically and she said, you know, I don't meet the profile, right? That's probably what was going through her brain. So then I go in, take them back. They do my vitals and they do a flat EKG. And then the clinical nurse says to me, doctor, what medications do you take? I said, I don't take any medications. So I get on the treadmill and I'm doing the treadmill and they do the echocardiogram and so forth. And my blood work was with me, and there was really nothing that they even could begin to suggest that I had a problem with my blood work. So I walk in. Now it's time to meet the White Tower guy. And we sat there, and he's going through. So you're not on any medications. He says, do you know that you have a very minimal, and this is the way you put it, minimal systolic ejection murmur? And he says, it shows up periodically on the graph. And I said, doctor, let me ask you a question. Isn't that consistent with somebody who's been a high-intense athlete his entire life and continues to do so, that you see those on a regular basis simply because of the athletic heart profile? So he doesn't say anything to me. Then he tells me, you know, at your age, you should be on a statin and an aspirin preventively on a daily day basis. He said, at your age, you have a 12% chance of having a heart attack in the next 10 years. So at that point, those of you who know me, I got my ire up a little bit, and I was trying to be as polite as I could possibly be. And I said, doctor, is that my age group or people in my age group who are in my condition physically? He said, well, you need to be on a statin. And he said, it's preventive. I said, and so I started quoting studies about what statins do and sudden cardiac failure and things of that nature. I said, there was an article that was published 2 years ago, August 2014, where the FDA reversed its opinion directly. I'm sure you know about that. I'm sure you know that aspirin, people who are taking aspirin have the worst cardiac outcomes of anybody else. I'm sure you know that the taking of any NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, can cause the body to bleed, and so subsequently you have stroke and heart attacks because of the bleed, not from clotting, but from rupture. So at that point, I said, you know, I think I'm done. And I got up and I shook the man's hand. And I said, I really appreciate your standard of care. And I said, I'll take my risk at this point. Thank you very much. And we left. So here we are. Here's a guy who, you know, me, that goes in. And I'm just trying to find out, you know, to make sure everything's intact. I read these things all day long. And here's somebody who gives me standard of care based on the pseudo application of the drug industry relative to parameters. And he sat there the whole time and put this stuff in a computer system and never looked at me as the person that was in front of him who just had a treadmill exam that they couldn't get his blood pressure beyond 135 on the top end on the treadmill. And he wants to put me on a statin. So what's that got to do with anything that I'm going to talk to you about today? Well, lots, because we're going to talk about my thoughts on sudden cardiac death and why we have so many people dying as we get older that have been on statins and aspirin and so forth. So you think it jacked me up a little bit? Yeah, just a little bit. And so many patients that come in that are on these things, and I look at them and I said, my God, you know, what is taking place? So you need to know the truth about what happens. The first truth that you need to know is that if you've been on aspirin and statins for any length of time, your risk of heart failure dramatically increases exponentially. Look it up. Get on the websites. You know, WebMD is a good one. You know, the New England Journal of Medicine is another one. And go through the archives. And if you remember a couple years ago when the FDA did reverse its position on aspirin, suddenly what happened is that drug companies, particularly Bayer, because, by the way, you know how much Bayer makes per year on just the sale of that one product? $1.27 billion per year on aspirin. And that's just Bayer. That's just Bayer. So they got to save that $1.27 billion by doing something. So they finally came out and said, well, you know, if you take an aspirin a day, baby aspirin per day. And you know how they put that baby aspirin per day? See, baby can't hurt an adult, right? Baby aspirin. That you're going to prevent certain types of cancers. And it's been shown to do this, this, and this, and this. The problem is we've been so manipulated into not looking in between the lines and asking the questions why these things happen. It's just like suddenly, and you know, patients come in the office and I say, you take an aspirin, you need to get off of it. Well, my doctor said it's going to prevent this and this, and I really need to be on this and so forth. And they have you to the point where you're so frightened, so scared to death that you don't dare question anything because you think you're going to drop dead, you're going to die. Well, the point of it is that you're going to drop dead and die anyway if you continue the other thing. So, you know, there was a guy by the name of Jeffrey Moss that Sue and I listened to in Phoenix last week, and he's a brilliant, brilliant biochemical nutritionist and really puts a lot of information out. So I went back, and I remember him writing an article. So I got into the one of our journals that is the Nutritional Perspectives Journal on the Council of Nutrition, and I went through and I said, you know, I remember him writing something on cardiac failure recently, and I wanted to check it out and see what it was said and see if it matches up with everything, you know, that I was thinking about. And I want to give you the skinny on these things. So we're going to talk about biochemistry, and we're going to talk about neurology today. Because in this particular situation, it goes hand in hand. Then we've got time. I'm going to take your questions. No, actually, I'm going to take your questions no matter what. So at 888-630-9625, give me a call. Let's talk about you and anything that you happen to be on. So here's the deal, right? Here's what's going on. The underappreciated situation that you have to consider relative to your health is this ridiculous tragedy, and it affects both young and old people alike. And, you know, we all know people that suddenly lost somebody in their family. You know, they went to bed that night and the person next to them is dead. Or somebody goes off to work and they don't come back that day because their heart stopped. So unfortunately, you know, when it's somebody that's close to us, it never hits the papers. It's just kind of one of those things that take place. Nobody demands to look any deeper than, oh, my God, something happened. And this issue deserves tremendous amount of attention as far as I'm concerned, because I see it in its ridiculous application on a day-to-day basis when it comes to patients. So the heart, you have to remember, is this organ system that pumps, and it pumps vital fluid. It's called blood. And that blood has oxygen and it has nutrients and it returns and it sends the returned used blood into the lungs, and the lungs reoxygenate it and it goes back in. But it's just not that plumbing. It has all kinds of other things. There's neurology that affects it. The heart has three neurological sources. Three. Not just the pacemakers, you know, these little regulators that are embedded within the muscle of the heart, but it also has this thing called the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is one of the cranial nerves, 12 cranial nerves that comes down. It's the longest nerve in your body. It hits all kinds of organs, but it really goes after that heart. And you have nerves from the spinal system. They're called the parasympathetic nerves. So that's just the beginning. And then you have this muscle that cuts you in half in the middle. It's called the diaphragm. And you got three big holes in this muscle, and you have the big artery called the aorta that goes through it. You have a big vein coming back up to the heart. It's called the vena cava. And then you have your food tube. You got your esophagus. They all go through this thing, and it attaches to the ribs and so forth. And what the job is of this big muscle is to assist your breathing and assist your heart in pumping. Because believe it or not, that heart doesn't have the strength it needs all by itself to pump everything that it has to pump, and as many times as it has to pump throughout your entire life and get it to where it needs to go all by itself. So God, in its infinite wisdom, designed this body in a way that it can use other pieces, and that's another one. So let's talk about this heart that isn't working anymore. It just kind of stops. Or you go into your doctor and you said you have congestive heart failure. Okay? Congestive heart failure simply means that the heart can't push the volume and things are getting stuck real low. Matter of fact, one of the indicators and signs of congestive heart failure is that your ankles swell. And, you know, you see this edema, the swelling. This is what edema is, right? And if you put your finger into the swelling around your ankles, you leave this dent. You leave this little dent in your tissue. It's called pitting. It pits. Pitting edema. And that's often a sign of cardiac problems. And we're going to talk more about that because I want you to get this, and particularly when it comes to the neurological system and the minerals we're going to talk about and so forth. And unfortunately, so many of you are on medications that are making life a whole lot worse and shouldn't be there. So make sure you pay attention. Don't go away. I'm going to come right back, and you're going to call me at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in-house today, in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. And when I'm not here, if you want to reach out, go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com. And send me a note, and I will get back to you. If you need to get a hold of somebody faster for a question, just call 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and tell the very lovely, kind receptionist that you want to talk to one of the docs, and they'll get your call back. We're talking about cardiac failure, setting the stage for some things I want to share with you. And as I said, you know, when they tell somebody like me that I need to be on a statin and an aspirin on a day-to-day basis, there's something desperately wrong. Just remember something. You know, your heart is a pump that is responsible for moving blood throughout the entire tissue systems of your body. It causes oxygen to go where it's supposed to. It takes nutrients and brings it where they need to go. And if it isn't working the way it's supposed to, then you got a problem. But there are many mechanisms that are associated with that. You know, there's general agreement that when there's alteration in certain tissues that have to have potassium and magnesium and even sodium, and they have to be in the right balance, that things take place. It's called irregular heartbeats or arrhythmia. And, you know, those alterations in this cardiac tissue is really directly affected by so much by physiology. But that's one thing. The second piece is, remember I said that the heart's got three primary neurological sources, and they all can be altered. And we're going to talk about that as well as we get into the next half of the program. But there's a clear association, you know, of certain disease states when the balances of potassium and so forth are not where they should be. Even when on laboratory settings, the potassium levels are normal, the magnesium levels are normal, there still may not be enough to transport these, what we'll call them as salts, into the tissue to prevent potentially lethal arrhythmias or irregular heartbeats. So even though that it says it's normal and you go to the doc and he runs the lab work and it says, well, we're fine, it's in normal levels, still may not be enough to shift enough of it into the cardiac muscle, into the tissue to make it work properly. And suddenly what happens is that this arrhythmic state takes place and you may go into fibrillation that's unrecoverable. And even if you put in pacemakers and even if you put in, you're given medications and some of you are on metoprolol and so forth, that's not enough to make it work because the inefficiency continues over a long period of time and you end up continue going into this breakdown, this congestive heart failure. When you have a decrease in the outside, the extracellular potassium, let's take that one first. It's a well-known cause that you can drop dead of lethal heart failure. You know, and when this decreases at this level, you know, we'll call it the membrane potential. All that means is that both sides of the muscle has to have a balance of certain types of chemistries. In this thing, we're talking about minerals to allow things to fire properly. And if it doesn't do that, your heart will either go into fibrillation and then stop, or it goes in this rhythmic thing. How many of you, you know, feel like your heart's fluttering or you're coughing, you know, periodically? There's another piece. It's called stress because it's burning up a lot of these things, including your B complex. It's long known that the heart also needs B complex and vitamin E as well to fire besides these mineralization, but that's a horse of a different story, and we'll talk about that later on. We have to understand that the heart has susceptibility to medications. We talked about NSAIDs, aspirin. We talked about statins. They also steal something called coenzyme Q10, which allows the little engines within the heart not to have the oomph that it needs to work properly. So when you're taking these medications, it's a side effect. And unfortunately, most well-meaning physicians don't get it that they've got to supplement this at sometimes very, very high levels, and you may already be depleted. So let's make it very clear that low potassium levels can lead to arrhythmia. Imbalances in potassium and magnesium can lead to that as well. And even if you're on medications, the problem has not been rectified. It's not been solved. So we have to have respect for the fact that we have these imbalances that need to be put in proper proportion. If you don't, we have problems. And as we get older and we push and we're doing and we're going, we eat and burn these things up, so to speak. So your muscle tissue doesn't work. How many of you go to bed at nighttime and have some form of cramping, or you stretch and the muscle wants to cramp up a little bit? That's an indicator that you're not transporting the minerals in your body the way you're supposed to transport them. I want to give you some clues on how to make sure that that happens and give you some suggestions on maybe how to rectify this whole heart problem so you don't end up a statistic. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We have to pay attention to those who bring you the program.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Call me. Let's talk about your stuff. We're talking about heart failure and all the things that can come a result of that, or what can cause it, and things that take place. It's important that you understand that the heart is a balancing act. And if you don't get that really clearly, you really need to understand that it's a lot more than your heart plugging up with cholesterol and things of that nature. Matter of fact, clotting problems are only a small portion of what causes the heart not to work. We're talking about cardiac failure. You know, stop, boom, doesn't work. You go into fibrillation, anything from ventricular fibrillation to atrial fib, not a good thing. And sometimes it's within our own hands. It's something that we are responsible for because of our lifestyles. And we need to understand that there's a way of fixing that, but we have to begin to be our own mentor. We have to take action ourselves. Talked a little bit about, you know, beginning stages of what happens with imbalances due to magnesium, potassium. I said that even though that you're within the normal parameters of magnesium, potassium, if it's not getting pushed into tissue, you're not going to get the benefit, and your heart will still go into this fibrillation process that if it doesn't reset itself very quickly, you could end up in a real serious situation. Ever feel that heart kind of jumping around in your chest and misfiring a little bit and makes you cough? You know what that coughing does? It's your body's automatic fail-safe to jumpstart your heart and get it back to normal. It's like putting paddles on your chest and kicking it in. You do that by coughing. That's your body's ability to help you. You know, but there are other clinical settings, you know, in which the cardiac arrhythmias, you know, are at least part and parcel to the cause of action. We talked about low potassium. You know, these arrhythmias can come about kind of suddenly. How many of you out there diet all the time, you know, or you may not want to admit to it, but you're slightly bulimic or you're anorexic? And all of these things can cause lowering of potassium and other minerals within the body. And when that happens, you can end up dead. You know, how many people have you heard out there that have died because of cardiac failure? Did you ask the question, why these people? Did you take a look at their dietary patterns? You know, people who are in acute alcohol toxicity, even a young person who is stupid and they're out there and they're bolting down alcohol, you know, to be cute and get themselves drunk, and they're, you know, they're shooting a can of beer or whatever. If they go into an alcoholic poisoning thing, they're going to potentially put their heart at risk and go into a hypopotassium problem. You know, we have the same situation with magnesium. They have to be in balance. If they're not, we got a problem. So you have to look at the diet. As I said before the break, I said, how many of you stretch and suddenly you want to cramp? You're laying down in bed at nighttime and, you know, your legs start cramping up because you moved the wrong way. You should be able to move in every way and not cramp up. But if your muscles are doing that in your legs and your arms and other places, your hands get tight, your muscles aren't moving, your heart is at effect as well. That's just a muscle, like every other muscle. So we're looking at biochemical imbalances. We're looking at certain drugs. Digitalis. How many of you have been given Digitalis to make your heart work better? The problem is Digitalis is a poison. It can be toxic. And, you know, it originally came from an herb called foxglove, and it was used in cardiac failure, and it was supposed to relieve fluid retention within the body. The problem is when you relieve fluid retention, taking any type of diuretic, even thiazide or thiazide-like substances, you're pulling potassium out. And when you do that, your heart's not going to work. So you're giving substances that actually can increase the risk of cardiac failure, even though that you're giving it to support the heart. So you have to know the pieces that are involved here. So I'm going to give you a couple ideas as we go through the program today of what you can possibly do to make a difference and help yourself. 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. And if you'd like to send us a note when we're not here, go to rozellecare.com, and I'm happy to answer your questions and, you know, what's taking place in your body and give you our ideas of how to reverse these things. You know, digitalis toxicity, that drug that was used, it's been around forever, by the way, tons and tons of forever, is really, it's a complication of the therapy that they're doing to try to protect you. You know, it's called acute ingestion or overdose. And unfortunately, when that happens, it's too late. It's done. Wouldn't it be easier to fix something before you got to that place where even, you know, the drug companies want to induce you? Remember what they did to me just because of my age, they want me to put me on stuff? I don't think so. Not happening. But here's the deal. Here's the skinny on it. Let's go back to that nervous system. There's tremendous amount of information, articles, that talk about the heart being very susceptible to neurological stimulation of all sorts. We said earlier on the program that the heart has three primary neurological innervations. One is the vagus nerve. It's a cranial nerve. It's the longest nerve in your body. Second are nerves from your spine. Those are called parasympathetic nerves. They're also called splanchnic nerves, so you don't have to worry about that. And then the pacemakers, these little, you know, embedded triggering mechanisms within the muscles of the heart itself, trying to keep things regular. So you can end up, if you have neurological interference, you know, if there is a nerve that's being irritated, we call it pinched sometimes, overstretched, or somehow neurologically not firing properly, either from the brain or from the spinal system, your heart is going to misfire straight up plain. In 40 years of practice, it's not something that is unusual. We see it, unfortunately, on a fairly regular basis. So it can drive your heart. You can drive your blood pressure. All of those things come about as a result of neurological imbalance. There's a great article that was published in a natural journal. Dr. Steven Sinatra, many of you know him as, you know, a medical physician that runs a place called the Heart Institute. He goes on and talks about, interestingly enough, the body beyond whiplash. And you start, you know, he for years he was in the emergency rooms in different hospitals. He was an emergency room cardiologist. And then he, you know, he got religion, meaning that he really saw that a lot of things that were happening shouldn't be done. And, you know, he began to explore the natural arena. And he found that many of his patients, once they took them off of medication, responded better and recovered faster. And if they gave them a balance of minerals and CoQ10, and here's the big one, he referred them to chiropractors to be treated manually because he knew that the neurological system was involved. And so if they went through a course of spinal manipulation and maintained that, used a balance of magnesium, potassium, and making sure the sodium levels were not too high, and giving them very, very low dosages of certain types of vitamin E and selenium as well, by the way, things began to turn around. And CoQ10 was one of the things that over a period of time. So patients, you know, are frequently emerge from a hospital setting, a doctor's office, with some type of medication. And it could be a beta blocker, it could be aspirin, or it could be nitroglycerin or something of that nature. And it's unfortunate that these things actually cause some of the problems that they're trying to get rid of. So when you look at the body overall, you have to understand exactly what it is that's causing the problem, not just try to fix the symptom. If you don't understand the why, you can't fix anything. All you're doing is suppressing the symptomological process, waiting for something else to happen for you to manage, meaning the good White Tower doctor. So take a look at your body. You know, is your body lacking something? If you want to find out whether or not you have an imbalance because of cramping, by the way, it's going to relate to your heart, get a little bit of sea salt, and before you go to bed at night, take about an eighth of a teaspoon. Measure. Don't get crazy and get a lot more of that, but an eighth of a teaspoon of sea salt. Put in a little bit of water. Yeah, it's going to be salty. It's going to taste a little bit like the ocean. And drink it before you go to bed. And do that 3-4 nights in a row. It's not going to cause any shifting in electrolytes within your body because sea salt is balanced. It has all the minerals in nature that the body needs. And see if it stops your cramping. If it does, it's going to tell you that there's an imbalance in the mineralization in your body, and maybe because you're not being able to digest them and pull them into your system adequately enough. It's a good challenge. And if you don't want to do an eighth, if it's too salty for you, go down just a little bit less than that. But do it every day on a regular basis. Salting your food with sea salt or Himalayan salt is okay. Salting your food with regular table salt is not okay. because now you're going to set up an imbalance in other minerals, particularly potassium, and this is my whole point. Table salt, you got a problem. It's going to retain fluid. It's going to cut pressure on your heart. It's going to increase your blood pressure and so forth. Sea salt and Himalaya salt will not do that. So if you want to challenge it, try that. But you need to get to somebody who knows what they're doing when it comes to this, because if you're sitting there on medications, and you have been for a long time, I promise you there's going to be an ugly side effect. Not only is it may cause you to have heart failure, but also it's going to rob you of your energy and your capacity and your strength and your wanting to do things. Another side effect, by the way, of low potassium is you're wiped out. You have no muscle strength. You don't want to function. So if you're on medications and suddenly you feel like you don't want to do anything anymore because your body just doesn't have the strength, the energy to do it, not the desire mentally necessarily, but the strength and desire to do that physically from muscle contraction and patterns, take a look at the meds that you're taking. You could be in a real serious situation that is going to cause you a more drastic situation that you can prevent right now. So let's understand this completely. Let's understand the thought process behind this. You know, potassium metabolism is major and when it comes to maintaining heart regulated, and if you have too much or too little, we could be talking about cardiac death for many people. It's important that we get that and we begin to educate ourselves on the nuances. Magnesium, sodium have to be kept in balance. Your heart has to have enough nutrient bases. If you're on medications that are depleting or drawing fluids out, you're also drawing fluids away from your body that carry minerals. Those minerals are necessary for function. And we haven't even talked about the nervous system. We haven't even talked about the brain and the other things that it's affecting as well. We're talking about this fist-like size organ in the middle of your chest that's dependent, interdependent on so many other different things. You have to make sure that you're breathing properly, that you breathe from your stomach. You have to make sure that you're walking, making sure that you're getting an adequate amount of water. But, you know, some of you say, well, you know, I drink 2 gallons of water a day. Not okay, because now you're diluting the electrolytes. Take your body weight, divide it in half. Whatever that number is the number of ounces that your body can use in water every day. And that washes the poisons out. It keeps things moving. It stops you from cramping and so forth. Anything more than that on a regular basis, if you're not a high-intense athlete, can be just as deleterious as not enough. You have to take control of your health. We're talking about your life here with the different situations that we're on. If you're on statins, if you're on aspirin, if you're on diuretics of any sort, if you're doing anything dietarily, if you're working out and not replenishing, if you're not eating a diet that is balanced high in minerals, particularly anything that's colorful, you're putting yourself at risk. If you're putting up with pain in the upper part of your neck and the upper part of your back or in the middle of your shoulder blades, those are the nerves that go to the heart. It can cause the heart to misfire. Those have to be dealt with. So you have to look at this as a multidimensional situation, not something that just because of your age that you're going to have more and more problems with. See, we see problems evolve over time, not because you're getting older. Remember that. We see things evolve over time, not because you're aging. Aging is a result of neglect over a period of time. So make a decision that you want to reclaim your life, but you have to be educated, meaning you have to do the reading and not just imbibe the garbage that's coming out of the water faucet of Fifth Avenue Big Pharma. Understand that you can make a difference for your own self. And, you know, we can get into the different specific medications, but all you got to do is look them up. Get online, side effects of, and then compound them and see if there's a problem there. But you have to look at the nervous system. You have to look at the blood supply. You have to look at the mineralization. You have to look at activity level. How many of you sit all day long? How many of you really understand that when you sit, your gut's hanging over your lap, you know, or everything's just kind of saggy baggy? And then you say, what do I expect for my age? Well, I don't know about you, but you and I ought to have a personal talk one-on-one for a length of period of time. Maybe I can get you to shift your head just a minute. You know, I was with some very dear friends out in Phoenix. Sue and I were out there for a biochemical nutrition conference last week. And I'm sitting there with guys who've been in practice as long as I have. And you know what we all have in common? The majority of us still physically look good and have tremendous capacity, and we can do just about anything that we want to do. Can you say that? If not, let's figure it out together. Let's see what we can do to make your life different. Send me a note. Go to rosellcare.com. I'll give you my opinion. And, you know, it's like anything else I've told you in the past. My opinion is my opinion based on experience. It's up to you to question it and then do your homework and make sure that it's the right opinion that fits you. We're coming up to a break. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. We're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. And we're here every Sunday, 12 noon, just like we are, you know, 52 weeks a year. So make sure that you pay attention. Those of you on the West Coast, thank you for listening. Those of you in the Mid-Country. You know, I was out in Arizona the other day, and I was going to get a hold of a couple people out there, and I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. But the thing with it is we have so many people that are listening to the program, so many people that we appreciate because we're trying to make a difference in your life, and according to your emails and notes and letters and so forth, we are. That's why we continue to do the program. That's why, you know, if we can help you in any way whatsoever, please reach out to us at rozellcare.com. You know that we have a foundation that we work with, Caring for Others, and we work cooperation with them on many different levels. And one of the things that we do is we do lectures for organizations and corporations and churches and so forth. And they're a gift to you. We don't charge for them if they're through Caring for Others. And we do so many a year, and I work intimately with the board of directors on Caring for Others. And all you have to do, and I'll give you the fastest and easy way to make that happen, if you'd like to have a lecture set up for a group, call 703-698-7117 and ask for Dareth. And ask Dareth to, what the information is to set it up, you know, for your group, for your church, for your organization through Caring for Others. And we're happy to do that for you. And we'll make it happen quickly. All you got to do is call 703-698-7117. Ask for Dareth and tell her that you would like to have me or one of my doctors come out and do a presentation for you. And we're going to be doing several of those this year around the area, so pay attention, see what you can do. We're here to serve you. We're here to give you as much data and information as we possibly can. Let's get back a little bit, and we're going to conclude on the topic because I want you to make sure that you have all the information that you can process. Make sure that if you have to take medication that you ask your doctor about the potassium and mineralization problem that when it comes to the medication. If you want to know the truth, you can always reach out to us and we'll tell you where to find it and where you can look it up so you can ask the right questions. Just send us a real quick. You know, by the way, potassium levels, you know, are also altered by blood sugar handling. And you have to make sure that you keep the blood sugars well balanced. Get off your butt and go for a walk. Remember what I've told you many, many times is that if you walk 2 miles every day, I don't care how slow or how fast you walk it, 2 miles, that you decrease your risk of dying of a disease process by 50%. That's 50. The data is there. The science is there. You decrease your risk by 50%. Now, remember that aldosterone is a hormone that comes from the adrenal glands. What does that have to do? Well, when there's an imbalance of the receptors for potassium, not getting enough in it, remember we talked about that early on the program, it doesn't push in, aldosterone can spike and it can cause your blood pressure to go up. So sometimes just the addition of the right type of mineralization will allow that to drop down and then decrease the inflammation to the receptor site. But aldosterone spiking receptor sites for aldosterone are dependent, dose-dependent on potassium. So we have to be very, very careful with what we're doing. Watch what you're taking. Make sure that it's absolutely necessary. Remember that medications compound upon each other. Look them up. Remember when they say that it's a rare side effect, well, there wouldn't be a side effect at all if somebody didn't get it and that somebody could be you. Make sure that you take control, that you become the master of your own ship. Don't forget my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. That's your guide. I wrote that for you. I wrote that so you can take control of your health. Pick up a copy if you don't have one. We're coming up to that awful time of the program when I have to say goodbye to you till next week. Next week, by the way, the boss is going to be on with me. Sue will be here. We're going to talk about osteoporosis. See you then. Love you all. Bye.